Now I'm going to go into Samadhi. Please bless me. Please chant the Maha Mantra one time. So all week, I have been absorbed in the 10 chapters of the 7th canto, which have described the pastime of Lord Narsingha. The scene is the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Yudhishthira. And at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna killed Shishupal. And everybody saw the Atma, the super soul of Shishupal, leave his body and enter into Krishna's body. Everybody saw it like a meteor. So Yudhishthira inquired from Narada, "Can you please explain what I just saw?" So Narada tells him that actually this was the third time that Shishupal had been killed by the Lord. That Shishupal was originally the gatekeeper in Vaikuntha, but he and the other Jai Vijay, they were known. So they offended the four Kumaras, and the four Kumaras cursed them, and they had the choice of either taking 7 births as devotees, bhaktas, or 3 births as demons. And they chose, "We want to return to our positions as soon as possible." So they agreed to take 3 births as the Lord's enemies, demons. So the first birth was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The second, Ravan, Kumbhakarn. And the third, Shishupal and Dantavakra. And after that, they were reinstated in their positions as gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. So then Narada began to explain Hiranyakashipu. These two brothers, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, were twins. Hiranyaksha was born first. Hiranyakashipu was conceived first. But Hiranyakashipu came out of the womb first, then Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha terrorized the universe. And he even challenged Varuna. He challenged Varuna to a battle. And Varuna said, "No, I'm too old to fight. But soon someone will come who will satisfy your desire to fight." And so the Lord appeared as Varaha. And they fought. And the Lord killed Hiranyaksha. When Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu, his brother, performed the funeral ceremony. And at the funeral ceremony, Hiranyakashipu gave an excellent Bhagavad Gita class. If you read what you've read that section, it sounds like Hiranyakashipu should give the Sunday feast lecture tomorrow. What he says is exactly straight out of Bhagavad Gita. But the problem is, he doesn't believe a word he says, because he's a demon. And he knows, I have to play politics here, so at a funeral, I have to talk like this. But he doesn't believe it. So after the funeral, Hiranyakashipu vows, "I will slay the killer of my brother, Lord Vishnu." So Hiranyakashipu went roaming throughout the universe to fight Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu considered, Wherever I go, this rascal's going to follow me. So where can I go where he won't find me? Ah, I'll enter his heart. He'll never look for me there. So when Hiranyakashipu inhaled Lord Vishnu, he became invisible and entered his nostril and hid himself in Hiranyakashipu's heart, where he would never look to find. Then Hiranyakashipu decided, all right, I can't find Vishnu. Now I want to be the supreme ruler. I want to be the supreme person. So he performed severe penances. He stood on his tippy toes like this, with his hands stretched out for hundreds and hundreds of years. He wanted to do austerities that nobody could match. In time, insects and all kinds of living things, they tore at the flesh of Hiranyakashipu, and all that remained was his skeleton. But he did not die. And his whole body was covered by an anthill. But because of the austerities, fire was coming from his skull. And he kept his spirit soul in with the skeleton, and fire was coming. The demigods became very disturbed. They went to Lord Brahma. We must inform you that this Hiranyakashipu is now doing these severe austerities. You must do something, otherwise we don't know what will happen. So Lord Brahma came with his swan airplane. And he could see where Hiranyakashipu was because of the fire. And Lord Brahma has a water pot. And in that water pot is transcendental jal, transcendental water. So he sprinkled the anthill. And out from the anthill came a new rejuvenated body of Hiranyakashipu. A body that could resist even Indra's thunderbolt. And Hiranyakashipu bowed down to Lord Brahma. And he offered prayers. So Brahma said, yes, what benediction do you want? And Hiranyakashipu said, I want to be immortal. But Brahma said, even I'm not immortal. So then Hiranyakashipu said, I don't want to die in the daytime, in the nighttime, on land, on water, by any creature you have created. Is there any creature that's not been created by Lord Brahma? I don't want to die by any weapon. And so he gave all these, not by this, not by this, not by this. And every time Lord Brahma said, Tatastu, let it be. So now he thinks, I'm immortal. I've got an ironclad contract. So then Hiranyakashipu begins to terrorize the universe. He starts harassing the demigods. And he takes over Indra's throne. And all the demigods have to go and bow down to Hiranyakashipu. And then Hiranyakashipu starts to torture the Brahmins, the sages, cows, all the items of Vedic religious life. He's disturbing. Hiranyakashipu is always intoxicated by strong liquor. His eyes are always coppery red. You can always tell someone who drinks because their eyes bloodshot. And he likes his very name, Hiranyakashipu, gold soft bed. And so now he's ruling the universe. Everyone is bowing down. Only three people, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Vishnu. They're the only ones who are not. But even Narada is telling Yudhishthira, he said, even I had to bow down. Because he's become the supreme. So the demigods go to Lord Vishnu. We are being tortured here. We're being harassed. We have been kicked out of our post. Lord Vishnu says, don't worry. In time, he will make one big mistake. He will torture his own son, who is my devotee, and that will be the cause of his destruction. So the demigods are now, it's just a matter of time. So Hiranyakashipu had four sons, and one of those sons was Prahlad. And those of you who have read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, the second half of chapter 12 is all about the pure devotee. And those verses exactly describe Prahlad's character. And Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthira that Prahlad, even as a young boy, he's able to see Krishna sometimes and play with him. And sometimes, invisibly, Krishna is feeling Prahlad's hand. Prahlad is so exalted. Sometimes he's unaware. He's so absorbed in transcendental bliss. He's a five-year-old boy. So one day his father calls him, Prahlad, come, sit on my lap. Tell me what you have learned in school. The five-year-old boy says, I have not learned anything in that school. The best thing I know, I learned from my spiritual master, Narada. It's called Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu becomes outraged and throws him off his lap. You speak of my enemy, Lord Vishnu? How dare you? So he orders this son of mine, he's no longer my son. He should be punished. He should be put to death. So he was tortured in so many ways. He was thrown off a cliff. Krishna saved him. He was put under the feet of elephants. Nothing happened. He was put in a big pot of oil, boiling oil. Nothing happened. He was thrown in a pit of snakes. Nothing happened. Hiranyakashipu made his wife give him food mixed with poison. Prahlad, just like Nimai Charan is offering, Prahlad offered and ate the food. Nothing happened. When Prahlad was at school, he would preach to his classmates, who were also sons of demons. And when the teachers would go out to have lunch, Prahlad would call his friends. He would say, and the children would say, we want to play. But Prahlad would say, no, don't play. I'm going to teach you something very nice. And Prahlad would teach them about Krishna consciousness. And he would get them to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
The teachers came back and saw that all the boys were all becoming devotees. So they chastised Prahlad and they went to his father and told Hiranyakashipu, your son, I don't know where he has gotten this, but he is preaching Krishna consciousness. And the boys asked him, the school boys asked him, where did you learn this? Because you're with us in the school. None of this stuff we are learning in school. Where did you learn it? So Prahlad told the story that when he was in the womb of his mother, his father was doing austerities. So Indra and the demigods captured Prahlad's mother, and they were going to take her and wait for her to give birth, and they were going to kill the child because they thought the son of Hiranyakashipu must be like him. But when the demigods headed by Indra were taking Prahlad's mother away, Narada Muni stopped and said, you cannot do anything to this child. He is protected by Lord Vishnu. He is a great devotee. So Hiranyakashipu's wife, she simply wanted protection. So Narada said, you can stay in my ashram and I will protect you. And I will let you stay there until you give birth. So while Prahlad's mother was staying in Narada's ashram, Narada would instruct her in the science of Krishna consciousness. And the child in the womb was hearing everything Narada was saying. So when Prahlad came out, he was already pure, self-realized devotee. And so the boys asked him, what did you learn when you were in the womb of your mother? And so Prahlad started to explain the basic concepts of Bhagavad Gita about the soul, about super soul, and about Krishna consciousness. So finally, Hiranyakashipu had had enough. And he became furious. And so he challenged his son. How is it that you can defy me? I am the supreme, yet you always talk about this God of yours. But I am supreme. Show me, where is your God? And Prahlad said, God is everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu laughed at his five-year-old son. Your God is everywhere? Then is he in this pillar? And Prahlad said, yes, the Lord is in the pillar. So the Lord had to keep Prahlad's words true. So Hiranyakashipu said, now I will kill your God right before your eyes, and then I will kill you because I am supreme. So Hiranyakashipu drew his sword and he smashed the pillar. But when he smashed the pillar, he heard this tremendous sound, a sound he had never heard. It was so powerful. And Hiranyakashipu was looking all around, and out came the form of Lord Nrisimha, half man, half lion. He had the body of a man and the face and nails of a lion. He had four arms. So Hiranyakashipu started to fight with the Lord. And Hiranyakashipu would fly up and appear here and appear there. Lord Nrisimha would capture him and let him go. Just like a snake will play with a mouse, the snake will swallow
and let the mouse go.
Swallow.
Let him go.
Swallow.
So the Lord was playing with Hiranyakashipu, and when Hiranyakashipu would get free, he would say, "Oh, I'm going to win." But no, the Lord was waiting. What was he waiting for? When it's not night, when it's not day. So just at that moment, dusk, the Lord grabbed Hiranyakashipu and put him across his lap. Why? Not on land, not in the air, on his lap. And then he went to the doorway, not inside, not out. And no weapon, his nails. He kept all the benedictions of Lord Brahma intact. And he took his nails and he gouged the inside, the intestines, and took Hiranyakashipu's intestines. So it's like I have a garland. The Lord took Hiranyakashipu's intestines and garlanded himself. And then the Lord looked for Hiranyakashipu's heart, picked up the heart, threw it, because Hiranyakashipu's heart is so black. And then he threw Hiranyakashipu off his lap. And he's roaring. He's angry. And then all of Hiranyakashipu's soldiers come. And Lord Nrisingadev manifests a huge form with thousands of arms. And with his nails, he kills all of Hiranyakashipu's warriors. And he's still roaring. And he's sitting on the throne, but he's roaring. He's angry. Lord Brahma comes. Lord Shiva. All the devatas come. And one by one, they offer prayers because they want the Lord to calm down. Because you all know, when someone gets angry, anything can happen. So the Lord is very angry. So one by one, the demigods offer prayers. The Lord is roaring. Lord Brahma looks at Lakshmi, his wife. "Please, calm him down." She goes, "I've never seen him like this." Even she was afraid to go. And there was Prahlad. Lord Brahma said, "Go." And Prahlad had a garland. And he put the garland on the Lord. And then he bowed down, flat. And when Lord Nrisinga saw Prahlad, he calmed down. And he put his hand, Tavakara Kamala, and put it on Prahlad's head. And Prahlad stood up and offered more than 40 prayers describing transcendental subject matter of all varieties. Prahlad described the nature of the material world. Prahlad described so much about Lord Brahma being born from Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. And one of the nicest things that Prahlad said in his prayers, Prahlad said, "Actually, if it was not for my spiritual master Narada Muni, where would I be?" So therefore, Prahlad said to the Lord, "My first service is to my guru, because he delivered me that transcendental knowledge." And there's one prayer that Kamlesh, I know, especially will like. Prahlad said, "As for myself, I'm content." Even though in some of the prayers, Prahlad said, "I am very much afraid of materialistic people. I'm very much afraid of material existence." But Prahlad said later, "As long as I can hear and chant, I'm happy. But I am concerned. I am worried about the non-devotees." Prahlad said,
I don't want to go to the kingdom of God. I want everyone. So Prahlad said, I'm always planning. I'm always scheming how to deliver the fools and rascals. Right, Kamlesh? You're always thinking how to increase Bhagavad Gita and make it available. How many languages now? 8 languages. So English, Hindi, Gujarati, French, Spanish, Arabic, and right, that's 7. Marathi. And Arabic. That's the best one. Now we got to do Farsi. And Swahili. So Prahlad is the ideal preacher. He is concerned with others advancing. So after Prahlad offered his prayers, the Lord said to Prahlad, you have suffered so much because you were my devotee. I want you to take a benediction. And Prahlad said, I am not a merchant. I don't worship you with a business plan in mind. You are my master and I am your servant. That's all there is. But the Lord said, no, you must take a benediction. So Prahlad said, if I must take a benediction, then in my heart, I do not want any more material desires. I have seen from my father what happens with material desires. In my heart, no more. And Lord Nisringa said, no, you must take another benediction. So Prahlad said, don't send my father to hell. So the Lord said, okay, not only that, 21 generations of your family backwards and forwards delivered. Nice, huh? Then the Lord said to Prahlad, you are going to be installed as the king of the Daityas. Because their mother was Diti, father was Kashyapa. So their race is called Daitya. So the Lord said, you will be the king of the Daityas, but you will not be disturbed by the demons. You'll be their king, but you'll not be disturbed. I will protect you. You will always be engaged in Krishna consciousness, and I will protect you. Because I think it's not easy being the king of the demons. Then before Lord Nisringa left, Prahlad did the funeral ceremony for his father. And then the Lord chastised Brahma. Don't give these benedictions. They simply indulge the demons. Don't do this. Then Lord Nisringa went back to his abode. Prahlad Maharaj, all devotees can identify with Prahlad because all devotees have had to go through similar things. When one decides to become a devotee, there may be much resistance from others. Sometimes your own family. I know from personal experience and from the experience of hundreds and hundreds of people, especially families that are not Indian. Sometimes there is heavy, heavy retaliation. I know, for example, 2 devotees that came from very, very wealthy families. And the parents told them, you give up this Krishna or you're out of the will. And the devotee said, fine, I'll not give up Krishna. I know one personally. I know one Swami personally. He told me his story. He was supposed to inherit millions, and all he gets from his sister is like $100 a month because he wouldn't give up Krishna. That's the test. Krishna or millions? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Meenakshi Vrajarani.